And now we transition to what is expected of God's people as well on the first Sunday of a year, true, but it's every Sunday we get to open God's Word. And this is what the true church always does. And I invite you to open a Bible this morning to Genesis 12. We're beginning a new series this morning on the life of Abram, who eventually becomes Abraham. And as a sort of a context or reference for where we're going to be and where we, Lord willing, God will take us, In the true story of how sinners are saved by sheer grace, a significant name in that story is one that's actually over 4,000 years old, and that is Abram. He first was called Abram. Abram means exalted father. In time, God changed his name to Abraham, and that's how we often know him. Abraham, which means father of many. And to know that, right, to know why Abraham is the father of many, to know why that is true is really in many ways to know what does it mean when your life and when my life is defined by faith. Because in Abram or Abraham, what we're going to discover, Lord willing, in this series is what faith looks like. When we hear God calling us, as the New Testament says, out of darkness into light, from lost to found, the blinding see. When God calls us, what does it look like when we follow him by faith? That's what we're going to see, Lord willing, in this series that we begin this morning with Genesis 12. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be present, and then we'll open God's Word together. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, you are here. Your Spirit is already at work. And now as we do the important work of pausing and opening your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take it and plant it like a deep, beautiful seed in our hearts and souls to show us again, to see the wonders of what faith means in Jesus Christ. Do this work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we honor God's word as it's read here in this place. Our text this morning is just Genesis 12. We're going to be looking at Genesis 12 through Genesis 25 or 26 in this series and looking at how God moved in Abram or Abraham's life to a place of faith and what that faith was like as a way of inviting us to do the same here. Let's listen to God's word in Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. So, say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, manservants and maidservants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. This is God's word for us. You may be seated once again. I came across a question quite a few years ago, but I came across a question that had, I would say, a fairly significant impact on my walk with Jesus. Now, I will say at the outset, it's not that I wasn't aware of this question. I was familiar with it, but it came across my radar. I was reading a book, and it came across my radar in a specific season in my faith journey. And it created, I want to just say, it created a bit of an aha moment. And this is the question that I came across. What is the true story of the world? What is the true story of the world? Now, I think one of the reasons why this question is so important, and we have to know the answer to it, is that, and this is not new, I hope this isn't new to us, but we live in a world of competing stories. We live in a world, in fact, I would say, of contradicting stories. And so there's not a lot of agreement on the answer to this question. There isn't, as the world will tell us, there's no such thing as a grand narrative. There's your story and there's my story, and the key is to be true to yourself or to live your truth or my truth. And I think one of the reasons why this question impacted my own faith journey is it made me think about, because we all get stuck in worldly patterns, I know that. It got me above some of that. It pushed me beyond it to say, well, hold on a second. If I'm going to be faithful to Jesus Christ, and I would say if the church is going to be faithful, we need to answer this question, not in terms of my story and your story as being the ultimate, but what is the biblical story? And when we do that, I think we get a sense of in which Abram's story becomes more real. To know his story, and we're going to spend the next, Lord willing, the next 11 Sundays just making our way through this part of Genesis, but as we do so, and we get a front row seat of the answer to this question, which is, what is the true story of the world? And when we do, and I really hope we get to this place, we're going to have an understanding of something that Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 29. You see, in Galatians 3, verse 29, this is what Paul says. If you belong to Christ, which, man, that's the gospel, right? Yeah, I belong to Christ. But then he says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And if that kind of makes you go, hold on a minute, what does that mean? What does it mean not only to be in Christ, but to be Abraham's seed? Well, you see, this is where the gospel in Genesis 3 begins to take effect in the world. Because God calls Abraham. There's a lot packed into that verse. It's probably a whole bunch of sermons that's beyond what we're going to do here today. But what I want us to see is simply to say this, that if we're in Christ, and that's the gospel, that's the call of the gospel says to be forgiven, to call on the name of Christ, and if your life is in him, that means you're not only connected to Christ and the community, but you're connected to Abraham. In other words, your story is part of the answer of what is the true story of the world, and that is it's connected to Abraham's story. It's a story about faith. It's a story about trusting in God. And it's a true story because the only way that sinners, and that's who we are, the only way that we can find ourselves rescued is by finding our way into this story. And Abraham's story is a story of faith. And like every other life of faith, including your own, and if it's not your story yet, hear the gospel this morning. God invites you to find your role and place in this story. All you have to do is accept it by faith. But if that's your story, like every other life of faith, it begins with God. And we find God's call here to Abram in verses 1 to 3. Now, when it comes to Abraham's story or Abram's faith journey, it's tempting, and I say this for myself, it's tempting to begin with verse 4. We're going to look at that in a moment, but verse 4 is where Abram makes his first baby steps of faith. And the ooze, and it's not unlike watching a child take its first steps, and you think, man, look at her go. But I mean, all the warm fuzzies you get, I know I've been there. I still remember watching our kids take their first steps. It's really quite remarkable. And we think, man, they did it. Well, there was a whole lot that happened before you took your first step. And I think there's a wonderful parallel to that, to the way the faith journey begins as well. See, Abraham's journey, our journey, doesn't begin with our first steps. It begins in Genesis 12, verse 1, with God calling him out of the world. Out of a world he knew. Out of a place and a people and in a real sense, and I think we can relate to this if we're new to the faith, and if we don't, we should remember this. Out of every protection that Abram knew, God called him. And his story doesn't begin with his first steps of faith. It begins, as it does for every follower of Jesus Christ, with God's sovereign call. You see, it's just as Jesus says in John 6, verse 44, when he says, "No one can come to me," that is Christ, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." That's where it begins. Through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, through what God is doing, Abram receives not only God's call, but then we go on to verse 2 and 3, and we find out God has a whole bunch of promises for him as well. And it's ultimately to say to Abram, you're going to be an amazing blessing on the world. And here's all of these I will statements of God, which is so important. It's God speaking. This isn't Abram saying, "Hey, I'm going to make myself great." God is saying to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation." The call. "I will bless you. I will make your name great." And this curious phrase, which is so true and a marvelous gospel promise, when God says, "I'm going to bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." And all peoples on earth, God says, I'm going to bless them through you. Where does faith begin? It's tempting to say, well, when those baby steps happen. And in some Christian traditions, we make a lot about personal testimonies, like, when did you come to faith in Christ? And I know I've said this before, but I think the best answer is when Christ died for my sins and God chose me. Because I couldn't get there. I never would get there unless God did the work first. And so what makes this promise so promising, what makes this promise to Abram so powerful is Abraham didn't do anything to contribute up front. And neither do we. God is saying essentially to us again this morning, if it's going to happen, and it's sheer grace, but if it's going to happen, God is the one who's going to make it happen. The fact is, Abraham is about to leave a place he knew for one he has never seen before, and he's going to leave a people that he doesn't even know exists yet, because at this point in his journey, he's 75, but he and Sarai are barren. And from a human perspective, and I think this is so true, the Christian life still today, when we think, oh God, how can you use me? What can possibly, how's this going to work? But from a human perspective, it doesn't look very promising, not for Abram. And even as we should think about this, as we think about what God promises for us in Christ, I mean, let's be clear. Either God will accomplish it. Either God will do it, or it will not happen. Either God saves us by sheer grace and sets our feet on the rock who is Christ, or we're never going to get there, okay? Our faith journey begins with God. That's it. Just as it did for Abram. And therefore, all of the priorities of the Christian life, and you get to spend some time in the New Testament, Paul's letters, the epistles, and the pastoral letters, in which there's so much, not only the indicative of the gospel, but the imperative in which we're called to follow Jesus. All of that because our priorities and our agendas are determined by this first thing, which is that God calls us. Now, having our priorities and agendas reoriented doesn't come easily for us, and I don't think we have any reason to believe, and you're going to find, we're going to see this as we make our way through Abram's faith journey. It certainly isn't true of him as well. But it does make what happens next so noteworthy, and that is that God's call is effective. Canons of Dort talk a lot about this. One of the confessional sources we use, we talk about whether God's call is effective. And we say it's general, it goes out to everybody, true. But for those whom God calls, it is effective. Abraham accepts God's call. We'll find that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He believes his promise. Remembering, he's got nothing to bring to this scenario, neither do we. Which is going to cause an issue we're going to talk about just in a moment in the last part of this passage as well. Because the only thing that Abram has to bring is his own sinful soul. But the truth is, ourselves is all we ever bring to this entire calling that God has for us. And what sings in the story of Abram's faith, which we're going to talk about here, is that we don't know when it begins. Only that it does. But the key here is, and you need to hear this morning because my wife and I, we listened to a conference. They were live streaming a conference that our older son was at this past few days, and I heard this throughout it as well. And it's simply this, that life is hard, and doubts creep in. And today, a lot of younger generation mostly, but it's evident everywhere, people are deconstructing their faith. They're falling away from Christ, in part because they're doubting their own faith. And to which I want us to hear this morning as we begin the journey with Abraham. I know this about my own journey. If I only look at myself, I'm going to have doubts. But I need to look to the God who calls and the God who is effective in doing so. And he sends us into the year ahead, and what happens is we have to trust him in it. There's no promise that it's going to be easy. And when we come to Abraham's faith, we find out that before he's long on the journey, things kind of go sideways for him. But let's remember that I don't know how the year's going to look for us this year, and more than likely it's going to be pretty well the same as last year. Some things are going to hit us, and it's going to be hard. And this was a constant theme we heard in this conference that Connor was at too. Life will take you sideways and things like that. But here's what I want you to remember, and please remember this, that since we are unable to turn to God in our strength, remember that all those whom he calls, he will justify. And all those whom he justifies, Paul says in Romans 8, he will glorify. So let's trust him in the journey. Let's trust him when he calls us, that it's a true call. He genuinely wants us to love him and serve him and worship him and put our hope in Christ and all this stuff in face of whatever the coming year may bring. And some of it might be pretty hard. But let's trust that he is effective when he calls us. And all that being true, let's look here at what Abram does. Because there's two things about his faith journey which really, really stand out, which I think are good for the Christian life here this morning. First of all, Abram becomes a pilgrim. That's what the Christian life is in so many ways. He becomes a pilgrim. He leaves Ur and travels to Haran, and then eventually leaves Haran and then travels south. I should have put a map up so you could see this. It's an 800-mile journey. They didn't have Uber. There was no quick way of doing that, right? This was an 800-mile journey, which became, in its own way, sort of the metaphor of faith. He was a pilgrim. It would have taken him a long time. Even just once he got to Canaan, to go from the north side all the way to the south side. But I just want us to hear this morning that the key here is this is what faith looks like when it's genuine. We are traveling. We are willingly detaching ourselves from the world, and we're going into the unknown where God is already at work. And that's so important because everything around us, and I say this feeling it myself, everything around us tells us, hey, you want to survive in this world today, then you need to hunker down, you need to think of yourself, you need to pursue your own comfort, and that's what the world tells us. But faith moves us to embrace what Paul, I'm going to go back to Paul probably frequently in this series, but in Colossians 3 verse 2, this is what Paul says about faith. Faith is about setting your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's what Abram does. It's remarkable. It's what you're doing. It's amazing. It's awesome. We're willingly detaching ourselves from the world's philosophy. And that's what God says to Abraham. And God tells Abraham, I want you to leave everything behind. Jesus says this. He says, unless you hate your mother and father, you have no part in the kingdom. Forsaking everything. If that sounds familiar, that's what Jesus says. And yet that way of walking into the world is only one part of the faith that Abram exhibits here. The other part is his act of worship. Twice we find in this passage, twice. I mean, he's coming in a commentaries have studied this passage and the history of those days and the culture, the Babylonian culture and everything that he was coming from. It was full of idolatry. And God calls him and says, I want you to worship just me, one God. And that's what we see Abram doing. Despite the fact that he's living in an unbelieving world in which he journeys, a place where idolatry is no doubt alive, in Canaan, right? There's an interesting phrase in this passage. Maybe you heard it. At that time, the Canaanites were living in the land. That's a significant phrase because where the Canaanites were living, their religion was living. And that's the world, the context in which God invites Abram to come. And right in the middle of it all, I should have put more maps up. Maps are fun to see. You should look this up, okay? Find out, just Google. You know, I love Google, right? Google Abram journey. And you'll see this wonderful map of him coming down. And when you see his journey, more than likely the journey through the center of Canaan, wherever else, it's right in the dead center of it when he's camped between Bethel and Ai. A way of saying you're in the heart of Canaanite country and Canaanite religion in the world. And right there, Abram, the pilgrim, builds an altar. Right there, and this is so many parallels to the Christian life, and I'm not saying go build an altar per se, a physical place. Your job or your neighborhood or your wife may be a little not happy with the stone structure in your house. But, I mean, this is the claiming of Abram saying that wherever God is, that's where I want to be. And where I am, I will worship him. He travels to the geographical center of the land and he acknowledges God's glory, God's goodness. This is remarkable. And the parallels to your life and mine are there too, right? Here is Bethel, which is just like Shechem. It's not neutral territory. Idolatry is everywhere. And Abram ignores all of that to declare that my allegiance is to the God who calls me to himself, who calls me out of the darkness. Now, the journey, we're going to get to this in a moment, there's some struggle along the way, some of it because of Abram's sinful condition, other because of the sinful condition of others. But here is him, Abram, saying, which we need to say, that faith believes that wherever God is, and he is, he's got this whole world, right? And wherever I am, it's holy ground. And trusting in his call, trusting in his word, we live for him wherever he plants us. And wherever he sends us. It's a beautiful moment. So we have Abram the pilgrim, Abram the altar builder. And then we get the rest of the story this morning. It's kind of the Paul Harvey moments, right? God calls him, Abraham's faith-filled response, and then we find out in the rest of the chapter that he starts strong and then stumbles almost immediately. I don't think we should over-spiritualize the fact that there is a famine in Egypt. Don't over-spiritualize the fact that Abram goes to Egypt. I don't even think that's the big issue. The big issue is that Abram, so fresh, he's taking these baby steps, right? Like, oh, look at him, right? So fresh on his spiritual walk with God, exhibits the very thing that hinders all of us in our journey. Because note what's missing. At no point does he ask for God to lead him. At no point does he ask for God's help. This is why it's a faith-testing moment. Not because he goes to Egypt. Not even because he tries to play the system to protect himself by the beauty of his wife. Not, I mean, that's a kind of underhanded, weird thing to do, I get. But it's that nowhere does he seek the Lord like he did when he built the altars. And we do this. So going to Egypt, that's probably a natural thing to do. People did that when there was a famine. You'd go to a place where there's food. Okay. But to go there without seeking God is Abram doing what we're going to find, and we do this, Abram putting himself in the driver's seat. And that's dangerous. It looks like a moment of self-preservation. Probably is. A little bit of deception. Definitely. Potential for self-gain. Absolutely. But this is where some of Abram's old nature is still winning over his new nature. All of this to say Abram was living as if God didn't exist. Let's not do that this year. It was as if he was in the driver's seat all of a sudden. Let's not do that. It doesn't end well. It's not the last time we're going to see this in his faith journey. It's not the last time we're going to see God intervene either, thanks to him. Abram had a great start, and then he stumbled. Fear. Fear took over where faith should have existed. And in this coming year, you and I are going to hit this. And here's just a simple reminder of why it's not worth it, but why we shouldn't feel so odd even when it happens. Even the heroes of our faith, and Abraham is chief among them, even our heroes are sinners and need God's help. So do we. So let's trust God's call. Let's trust God's word because it shows us both the bad and the good in the journey of faith and how even when hope seems lost, because it was not long in the journey, it looked like Abram might lose his way, God's grace reaches back and says, no, hold on a minute. So much so, and there's a sermon in this, even Pharaoh, when he finds out, he could see he didn't want whoever was behind Abram. So let's hold on to that. Because for Abram, as for us, God's promise should be enough for us. It should be enough for us to overcome our fears. And as essential part of this is making sure, as you think about this coming year and this journey we're going to make with Abram, who is in the driver's seat? Who's in your driver's seat? Because if you're the one behind the wheel, you got a problem. And that brings you back to the question. And we're going to hit this throughout the series. So what's the true story of the world? Living your own story, my story, whatever that story is. Well, there's plenty of those out there. What's the true story? Through the story of Abraham, God invites us to see that it's about faith and trusting in the one who through Christ makes a way where there's no way for us. And if we're going to be faithful to Christ, we need to believe that that's the true story. It's God's story. It's in the finished work of Christ at the cross, who calls us into his story. And all we have to do, and this is amazing, we're just like Abram in this. All we have to do is receive it by faith. And when the testing comes, and it's going to come, faith means trusting that God's promise in Christ is unbreakable. Because he's faithful. Even in our failures. Because that's the true story of the world. Come to him, come to Christ. The promise of a righteousness we cannot earn, which we're going to celebrate at the table in a moment. Let this feed your faith as we seek to be faithful. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come now to the table, we pray, O God, that you'll renew us in our faith. For those who don't have that faith, we pray your Holy Spirit will do this work right now so that they can come and join the story. And that this story is all about you, O God, and what you started and that you will finish. So feed us, nourish us, that our faith will sing in the days to come. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.